Weeks is one of the most popular, award-winning LDS musicians today. She's been inspiring listeners for many years with her beautiful, uplifting music and lyrics. From her first song, He Hears Me, in 1993, to her latest CD titled Every Step, Hillary has released a total of 9 solo albums. We're here with Hillary in her beautiful home here in Utah. And Hillary, thanks so much for letting us in and talking to us today.
My pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about your growing up years. Born in Colorado, but you were raised in Alaska. What was it like to live in Alaska when you were young?
That was a fun place to be raised. We lived right near the ocean. We lived right near the forest. There were just miles and miles of places to go explore and to go sit and ponder. And it was just, it's a beautiful, beautiful state.
Is that where you get some of your inspiration, is when you're out in places like that and you're able to roam and you're by yourself?
It certainly clears my mind. And I think when I was growing up and when things got complicated or I felt confused, it was so nice to go into some of those places and just look at the ocean and be in the forest and sort of reconnect with Heavenly Father and just, you know, just get a clear vision of life and what's important.
You started playing the piano at age 8, and then you wrote your first song at age 14. It sounds like you knew what you wanted to do early on, did you?
I always had a love for music, but I never really set out to create CDs. Or when I wrote my first song, I never thought, oh, maybe I should be a songwriter. I just did what I loved.
And that was writing the lyrics more or making the piano part of it? Making
both.
The music, both of it.
Both. I always love to take songs that I was learning and tweak them just a little bit or make them sound a little bit different, what my ear wanted to hear. And my very first song was something that I wrote just the music for. Somebody sent me lyrics, and I put that to music. And then I think I started writing lyrics. And some of my first songs my family still teases me about because they were so dumb.
Can you play us one?
I wouldn't dare play you one. I would rather, you know, crawl under the piano bench before I played one of those and expose the world to my beginnings.
What was your song about at age 14? What did you write about?
Friendship. Yeah, I had met a new friend, and
oh,
she sent
great.
A poem, so I put it to music.
Do you remember that one at all?
I don't.
You don't?
I wish I did. I wish I had known, you know, thought ahead, like, someday you'll want to know the first song you wrote, but maybe I wouldn't, you know, to go back and hear it. But
yeah,
I don't have the lyrics anymore. I don't know, remember what it sounded like.
You still remember the friend?
I do.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, remember that.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, on the front of your blog, it says, and I love this, it says, believe in what you're doing, believe in who you are. Did you always believe in yourself?
I think I've had moments where I've believed in myself and moments where I've doubted myself. And
like everybody.
I think like everybody.
Yeah. But you did. You had a strong belief for you. I don't think you would have pushed forward with this, do you think?
I think the thing more than just believing in myself was just the love of music and what music can do and how it can evoke emotion in people, how it can draw them to the Savior. That's what really propelled me, was what happened when I first sang at a baptism or I first sang in sacrament meeting and I saw the response and saw what people could feel and experience.
When did you know that you had a specific talent and a real special gift, Hillary, and that made you want to go further and to let more people hear your music?
Oh, that's a great question. I wonder if I'm still trying to wait for that for sure moment. But it's just, you know, when you're growing up and you play somewhere, you perform somewhere, and somebody tells you that you did a good job or, boy, you're talented, and you start to think, well, I wonder if that's true. Maybe I should take choir class or maybe I should stay in piano lessons. And I don't know that there was ever a certain moment, except for maybe the third grade talent show, where I probably took second or third place.
Oh, no, that would be, that would be a downer.
Yeah. How could you doubt your talent then?
Did you take voice lessons?
I didn't. Nope, never took voice lessons.
Just a naturally beautiful voice.
Thank you.
You have earned numerous awards over the years, Hillary, and most recently you became the first Mormon artist to rank in top 10 on the Billboard Christian Albums chart. That is a great accomplishment. Congratulations.
Thank you on behalf of everyone who helped us get there. I can't even take any credit for it, but the supporters sure can, and the people who listen to the music, and Deseret Book, their team of getting the word out, sure can take credit for it. It was a team effort.
That was a help, but obviously, unless it was good.
That's right. Unless I'd written the songs and
right,
put a CD
exactly.
out,
we
wouldn't have nothing
yes,
to try and chart.
There you go. So you have to take great credit for that.
It was
what
so
did you think
fun.
Of that when you heard that?
I was speechless. I really was. It was really neat because we had a big conference call, Deseret Book, at their offices, all on the line. Tim, my husband, at his office on the line, me here at home, and then our producer, Tyler Castleton. We were all on the phone. And they said, you charted at number 6, and I just went silent. I had nothing to say. And I thought, I better think of something to say, or they're going to think I'm not happy about this. But it was such a thrill.
And what did you say?
I don't even remember. But I was just so excited that we were able to do it. I probably said something dumb like, wow. Oh, okay.
Next, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's go to CD number 10.
Yeah.
Now, in hindsight, do you think what you're doing, Hillary, is a calling?
I think what I am doing is important, and I think it matters, and I think it makes a difference in the lives of people. And there are so many times when music can reach us when nothing else can, or music can say what's in our heart when we have no other way of expressing it, or can validate what's in your heart. So in that sense, I just feel like it's so important. What would we do without music?
It is so powerful. Do you look at your talent? Did you ever, you know, we all hear the story of the parable of the 10 talents. Do you take that personally and realize the talent that you have and realize you need to put it out there for people to hear?
You know, that is an interesting question. And I've actually contemplated that concept of when we try one, another one comes. And I've run into things that... you could consider talents that I would never have thought years ago that was a talent. But the more we try and the more we use, and I've certainly watched the Lord firsthand magnify what was just a teensy-weensy little seed of talent within me.
Well, that's great. That's where the gratitude comes in, does it not, for what you've been given and the talent you've been given. You told me that your songs always come through inspiration. And in one of your most popular songs, All My Days, you sing this. You say, he understands when I'm unsure, he knows the plan, and when I'm tired, losing my way, he picks me up and gives me strength, and I will praise him. How does the Lord give you strength, Hillary, when you write your songs or go about putting a piece together?
You know, it's the little things. I feel his love in so many different ways, but it's usually just small, simple things. While I'm reading the scripture, scripture will just hit home. It'll completely apply to what I'm going through right then, or an answer to a prayer, or I'll feel a specific prompting from the Spirit. And I know in those moments that he cares about me and that he's watching over and he's doing exactly that. He's lifting me. He's helping me when I don't know which direction to go, or when I feel sad, or when I feel confused. It's those little nudges that help me to remember he knows.
How many times have you sat at this gorgeous piano and kind of gotten stuck on a phrase or a word that you want to use, and you get that prompting, you get that feeling, this is what I need to say?
Yeah. Oh, I've been stuck many times, tried to figure out what the next word is, or where does this song go, or where does it need to go? And if I just keep at it, the direction will come. Something will pop into my head. I could be thinking about it while I'm driving, you know, trying to figure out what is that word. And sometimes I just scrap it, you know? Sometimes if it never comes, it's just not the right direction. It's just not that good of a song. And I'm not afraid to toss out something like that. Just set it aside and work on something new.
Have you had to do that many times?
Uh-huh, yeah,
really?
Lots of times, yeah.
You've tossed several.
I have, yeah. Even full songs that you would think, oh, there, I'm done. But no, they're just not quite right or not.
And you just play it back and it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it's just not like, yeah, I just know it's not, you know, the high enough quality. Yeah. Yeah, or that no one would listen to it.
We'll have much more from Hillary Weeks coming up, but first, as we go to break, let's hear Hillary's beautiful song, All My Days.
He's so like I've watched a million sunsets and stared at a thousand full moons. Sometimes it feels like I've been here forever, and sometimes it all feels brand new. I could never count the heartbeats from the day I was born until now, but not a single one goes unnoticed by him who breathes life in me somehow. But if
the beautiful song, If I Only Had Today, another inspirational piece by LDS musician Hillary Weeks. And Hillary, I know many of your songs are filled with messages to help others get through difficult times and trials. Tell us the story behind that song, If I Only Had Today.
That one I actually didn't write while sitting at my piano. I wrote that one on an airplane. We were coming home from Texas, and I was just sort of in the mood to write. And so I boarded the plane. I pulled out my notebook and a pencil. And as we took off literally into the sunset, it was beautiful. My thoughts just sort of turned a little bit more reflective. And I started to think about what would I write about right now, and with this sort of introspective feeling. And If I Only Had Today was what came into my mind. And I wrote the majority of that song on the airplane.
Did you have the music in your mind as well as you're writing this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you came home, and as soon as you got home, do you have to hurry and put it down?
I came straight to the piano and made sure I wrote it down as I was trying to remember it in my head on the airplane, and then just finished it up later that week.
And what was the message behind that song that you were hoping to send to people?
The value of today, the value of right here and right now, and just living today and not living in the past and not living too much in the future. I mean, we have to look towards it and hope for it and that kind of thing, but there's so many wonderful things about today. And if you let it slip by and don't soak it in and take it all in, it's going to be gone.
Just find those tender mercies and those little pieces of joy every day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Your song, Just Let Me Cry, another, I think, very emotional song that was written because another experience you had. Can you share that one?
Yeah, that was a sweet experience. I was in Ohio at a Time Out for Women, and a woman came up and introduced herself, and we started talking and just had a lovely conversation. And in the course of that conversation, she told me about her niece, who was 9 years old, was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and they had been told that she didn't have much longer to live. And we just talked about that experience. And then a little while later, a couple months later probably, I got an email from her, and she just informed me that her niece had passed away. And we got the address of her family, this little girl's family, and wanted to send them flowers. Even though we didn't know the family and we'd never met the little girl, we just wanted them to know that people who didn't even know them cared, and that somebody cared that they had lost their daughter. And they sent us back a video and pictures of their daughter. And inside of the video was a poem. And at the end of the poem, it said, "Just let us cry." And as soon as I read that, I thought that has to be expressed in a song, because we go through things that make us hurt and they are sad. And that has to be part of the process, is the crying. That is part of the healing. And it's not a reflection on our testimony. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in the atonement or the Savior or that we'll be healed or that we'll ever be happy again. It just means that it's part of the process. In fact, in the Book of Mormon, where it talks about our baptismal covenant, it talks about mourning, and then it talks about comforting. And the mourning comes first, and it just people just needed permission to be able to cry and experience that part of the process.
Did you see that as a tender mercy, Hillary, that prompting to write that song? And I know it's helped so many people to hear those words.
And I hear firsthand when I go to these timeouts, and a woman will come up and say, that song got me through my husband's death, or through my divorce, or whatever it is that they're experiencing, that has had a deep impact on people and has just really made a difference. And it's a gift. I just happened to be the one who took the notes down and took the lyrics down. It was just something straight from heaven.
And something felt the promptings and used the promptings.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we all have burdens in our life to bear. And you yourself had a major trial when you had to endure 3 months of chemotherapy. Tell us about what you went through.
That was in 1997. I had a molar pregnancy. They're kind of rare, more common in Asian women. And I'm a blonde from Alaska, so I'm not sure how I showed up with it, but I did. And it was something that they had to treat with chemotherapy. It was a mild form of chemotherapy, or it would have turned into cancer, and it would have gotten more serious and life-threatening. So that's how they treated it.
Well, it had to be a scary time.
Yeah, and my life was never really in danger or anything like that. I think it was more just the results of chemotherapy, just where I was just so tired all the time. And then the more chemotherapy you take, the sicker you get. And so it was just dealing with those things, not being able to keep up as a mom. At the time, I just had one child, so luckily I didn't have a lot to keep up with. But keeping up with the house and her and just my responsibilities, I just fell behind on all that. So that was the biggest thing, was just getting back up on my feet, not to mention the 20 pounds I gained from chemotherapy. That's no fun.
That would be no fun. Well, luckily you were able to have more children. I guess after that, were you afraid that maybe you wouldn't be able to have more children?
No, they seemed to think that that would all be fine. It's just that every pregnancy after that was just a little bit higher risk, and we had to watch it closely to make sure it didn't happen again.
What's the greatest lesson you learned from going through that?
I learned that the Spirit is given in abundance. The harder things that we're going through, the closer He is, and the more you can feel Him.
Well, thankfully you got through that, Hillary, and now you're a wife and a mother of four beautiful daughters. What is the best part of motherhood for you? What's the most gratifying part?
Oh, there's so many. Am I allowed to say when they're sleeping? Does that count?
Well, sure, that came from your great book and CD, Bedtime and Naptime. That is one of your favorite parts, right?
I am naughty. I love so many moments of it. I love those moments when we're all together as a family. I love when we can talk about gospel things. I love when we're out doing something fun. I love holidays together. I love when we laugh together. Oh, we laugh a lot in our home. Everybody has a good sense of humor, and so I love those moments.
Best lesson you learned from your mother that you take now as being a mother yourself?
She was very easygoing, and she allowed us so much freedom. And I just remember just walking home from school and stopping and playing in the river, and or stopping at a friend's house, or building go-karts to go gather wood so we could build a fort. Like, she just didn't mind if we were all about and around the neighborhood. And I don't know if that was more the times, too, but she just allowed freedom. She's a believer. She believes in every single one of her kids, and you feel that. And when you feel so much that your parents believe in you, you rise to the occasion.
That is so powerful. Do you allow your children the same freedom that your mother allowed you?
Well, I've had to check myself a few times. I think I'm a little bit more controlling. I'm easygoing kind of a person, but, you know, you just want them to make sure they do everything, they have every advantage, and do this just this way so you can have this, an opportunity. But no, I've relaxed over the years and learned to just let them be and to let them become.
That's one of the things I admire about you most, is motherhood was always your first priority. Your music would come if there were breaks while you were raising your children, correct?
That's true. I would just write 15 minutes here and there, or 20 minutes if I had it, or after they've gone to sleep. And priority was always the family. And they've sacrificed too and done their part to support a good cause and a good work too.
That's great. Now, your home is so beautiful with Christmas just a few weeks away. Let's talk about the holiday season for a minute. What's one of your favorite Christmas memories? Did you have great ones growing up or even here in your home with your own children?
I can tell you a very shameful Christmas memory when I just 2 days before Christmas took all my Christmas presents up to my bedroom, carefully pulled back the scotch tape.
You didn't.
And opened every single one.
You're a peeker.
I was terrible. I have never peeked since. It was the worst Christmas. And I wrapped them all back up and stuck them under the tree and just thought, I am never doing that again.
So did you have to
cured me.
Fake surprise?
Oh,
did,
yeah.
Did your mom say,
no,
wait, that was not real?
I was a liar on Christmas Day, yes. I had to fake the surprise. And
so let me guess now, when Santa Claus comes, he makes sure that they're hidden very well.
Well,
he doesn't
even
have
to do that.
Okay.
When I hide for
yes.
Yes, and my girls are good. They don't ever want to peek. They
good.
Know.
Okay, yes. Good. You have two Christmas CDs. Tell us how you were inspired to write your own Christmas songs, because as you know, Hillary, there's so many wonderful traditional songs that we always hear, so that's a tough market to crack.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
That is intimidating to think, well, why don't I just write a Christmas song? Yeah, it's hard. And there's so many favorites. How do you break into that? But I just thought, you know what? Heavenly Father inspired those people to write those Christmas songs, so why couldn't he help me write
Absolutely,
a Christmas song?
Absolutely, yes. So, who's your favorite Christmas artist?
Amy Grant.
Grant.
No question.
Okay.
It is not Christmas until Amy shows up at the house.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, she sings inspirational Christian songs
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And one of my favorite Christmas songs is from your CD, Christmas Once Again. Were you sitting at your piano here looking out the window and watching it snow as you wrote the lyrics? I love that song.
Well, let's just come clean. I was writing it in the summertime. So
really?
Yes.
How did you get motivation for Christmas
well,
in the summertime?
I know. See, it's a double whammy. But you have to write before Christmas if you're going to release at Christmas. So I was looking out the window, but it was more like at somebody mowing their lawn. And yeah.
How you came up with the words, watching someone mow the lawn, I'll never know. Well, don't go away, because we'll be back in just a moment. But first, let's listen to Hillary's song to get us in the Christmas spirit. And here's Christmas Once Again.
When the frost comes, when mittens and hats go on, when the snow leaves a blanket of white veiling the ground, when the housetops glisten with strings of light, when the children impatiently wait for that magical night, it's Christmas. It's Christmas once again. Sing hallelujah for a star in the sky. Sing hallelujah,
back with Hillary Weeks, one of the most popular LDS musicians today. And Hillary, let's talk about your latest CD. It's titled Every Step. What was the inspiration behind that particular CD?
You know, earlier this year, I just felt really strongly that this was the year to release another CD. And so in January, I began the writing process, which meant I only had about 6 months to write all of the songs. I hadn't written anything. I didn't have anything in my back pocket that I could use. And I usually give myself a year, year and a half to write. And so I just dove in and I just felt the windows of heaven open up. And I mean, just songs were given on a silver platter. He knew I didn't have very much time to write. And boy, did he send blessings my way. So the inspiration was just nothing but straight from heaven.
That is so wonderful to hear. I know one of your favorite songs on there is titled Stand Still on the CD, and it was inspired by one of your daughters. Tell us a little bit about that story.
My daughter Callie and I were on a mother-daughter dinner date. This was probably 3 years ago or so. She was 9 at the time. And through a mouthful of macaroni and cheese, she was telling me all about a game of freeze tag that they had played that day at recess at school. And as she giggled and cheese oozed through her, you know, the cheeks of her mouth, I just thought, you know what?
There's a song.
I thought, I will spend eternity knowing Callie as an adult. But right here, right now, and for the next few precious years, I get to see her as a child. I get to experience her as a child. And it just made me think what a gift it is to know the children in our lives as children. And
I've never thought of
during
that.
During a brief, yeah.
Yeah, that you think the most of your time will be, yeah, as an adult. That's kind of sad.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, because don't you want sometimes for your kids just to stay at one age for you know, a few years longer?
Oh, absolutely.
And so was that part of it in the title, Stand Still?
Yes, it's just the concept of somehow, sometimes it'd just be nice if time could stand still and we could take in those favorite memories and favorite moments. And so it's just a reminder that we really do, in this little journey in mortality, we get to watch them learn and grow and experience and love and to treasure it.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's it.
And it goes too fast. Can you play us a little piece of that song?
I would love to.
About your songs, Hillary, we can all relate to so many of your songs.
Thank you. In one way
or another, we can all relate.
Thank you.
Now, I know you're also one of the more popular speakers at Time Out for Women, and the women just love to hear your songs and your stories. How has that been for you to be part of that? You go all around the world.
Oh, I love it. I feel so blessed that I get to be part of it. I mean, a weekend, hang out with all those girls all in one room. We have so much in common, and it's just a dream come true. I love it.
That is great, and I know, as I said, the women love it. Before we wrap up with another of your amazing pieces, Hillary, I do have to ask you about something you started this year. You have a clicker that you use to count your negative and positive thoughts throughout the day. Tell me how that started, and what have you learned from that?
I got the idea last Christmas. I was at the Ward Relief Society dinner, and the speaker said that we think on average over 300 negative thoughts a day. And that caught my attention because I've been studying the power of our thoughts for a couple of years now. And when she said that, I thought, oh, I got to find out if that is true or not. So I went and got myself a clicker, a little handheld clicker, you know, that you can count. And I started counting my negative thoughts, and it was just so interesting to see what happened. By the end of the week of clicking my negative thoughts, I was completely depressed. I woke up one morning and I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm typically happy and positive, but I felt discouraged and down, and I realized it was the clicker. I'd been focusing on my negative thoughts all week, and look at the impact it had had on me. So that very day, I decided to start counting my positive thoughts. And I clicked and I clicked and I clicked. One day I had over 1,200 positive thoughts. And during that week, my entire feeling changed. My spirit just seemed to soar. I set goals I would never have set unless I felt so positive. I took it with me on the treadmill. I clicked while I was running. I ran further than I've ever run in 20 years and longer. I mean, I know that sounds cheesy, but I'm not kidding. When you fill your mind with something positive and you tell yourself positive things, it has a result not only on your spirit, on your mind, but also on your body. And you can do amazing things. And the key there was the clicking. Recognizing the thought, because we have positive thoughts, but we just let them gloss over them,
right?
And we don't give them enough attention. But when I was paying attention to it and recognizing it through that click, it made a huge difference.
I'm feeling a song coming from the clicker.
The clicker song?
That would be great at Time Out for Women. It would go right with that. Now, you recently recorded a piece that I love. It's called Beautiful Heartbreak. And I think some people might think that's an oxymoron. How did you come up with Beautiful Heartbreak?
Oh, don't I wish I could take the credit for that. That was all Tyler Castleton. We co-wrote it. He came with the title. And as soon as he said the title, I was like, yeah, let's get down on that. Yeah, that's a great title. And so we wrote that over the next course of a week or so.
Finally, Hillary, what are your hopes and dreams for the future? Are you hoping to get, you know, bigger and better, or are you happy right where you're at?
I tend to be the type of person that's pretty happy where I'm at. Yeah, it's like giving birth to a baby. That's a terrible time to talk about the next child and whether or not you're going to have more.
That's so true.
Like right now,
the pain you go through.
Yeah,
yes.
Now that we've finished this CD, I think I'm looking forward to some rest.
I'm going to have
just
a nice vacation.
Yeah.
That's great. You deserve it. Well, Hillary Weeks, thank you so much for inviting us into your home. We're so happy for your success, and we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Weekly Edition here on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To download this episode or any others, please visit mormonchannel.org. We now leave you with Hillary Weeks singing what is sure to be a big hit, Beautiful Heartbreak.
I had it all mapped out in front of me, knew just where I wanted to go. But life decided to change my plans, and I found a mountain in the middle of my road. I knew there was no way to move it, so I searched for a way around. Brokenhearted, I started climbing, and at the top I found every fear, every pain I went through was the price that I paid to see this view. And now that I'm here, I would never trade. The grace that I feel and the faith that I find through the bittersweet tears and the sleepless nights, I used to pray he'd take it all away. But instead,